In Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 10, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. The title of the message this morning is The Spotlight on Bethlehem. I think all of us would probably agree that the story of Bethlehem is one of the most amazing stories ever told in the Bible. But to fully comprehend it, we need to consider all the facts. That is, to appreciate the miracle of Bethlehem, it's necessary for us to project our thoughts back into the eternal ages past, when the divine family, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, met in conference. And we see them, that is this triune God, calmly anticipating what would happen in the ages that are to come. Critics question the fact of the wisdom of God in creating man when at the same time he was aware of the fact of the tragedy of sin that was going to follow. Now there are always, and I think we'd all agree, there are always two sides to a picture. Would God have been justified in not creating mankind? Would he not have been justified in creating all of us, when by so doing eternal happiness would be ultimately known by countless millions of people? Or to put it another way, should God refuse to do good because some of his creatures prefer to do evil? But notice how exacting the plans of God, the declaration of his coming. We see that the Lamb in the New Testament is spoken of, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world was laid. So it follows that the incarnation and the subsequent events were already in the mind of God. It was all laid out by God. His entry was prophesied in Isaiah 7 and 14. It said, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, or God with us. The place of his entry was also prophesied. You see, even before Bethlehem, that is the town, or even the planet on which Bethlehem would be setting, the decision of a place had to be made by God. And so God, in his wisdom, revealed in the Old Testament in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So we know that God created this world, and then he created the place that he wanted his son to be born. But he also wanted us to consider the time of his coming. And this is evident from the fact that Daniel was able to predict, if you will, the time of the Messiah's death. And since the decease was to be accomplished at a precise time, the birth also was planned to coordinate with his death. Notice, if you will, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. He said, Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Thank you, Brother Larry. One of these days I'm going to get over this. It's not really a cold, and I know you don't want to hear all this, but it's sinus. But anyway, Daniel prophesied of the fact of the coming of the Messiah and his death. And so he tells us here in Daniel chapter 25, or Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, of the fact of the timing. And it gives us a period of 7 weeks, or really 7 times 7 is 49 years. And during this period of time, the Jews are going to come from Babylonian captivity during troubled times, and they will start to rebuild the city. But the date of this being done is the key thing. The decree of Daniel 9:25 is probably that of Xerxes in 445, authorizing Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls and to restore the gates. And then he tells us that there's also 7 times 62, or in essence, that's 434 years, 483 years altogether. And so when you count up 483 solar years from the year 445 BC, you end up with AD 29 or 30, which brings us to the time of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that Christ, the anointed one, would come unto his own, but they would cry out, "We have no king but Caesar, and we will not have this man to reign over us." And this speaks of the rejection of the Jewish nation. And then Christ was turned over to Roman authorities by his own people, and yes, even one of his own disciples. But he died for the sins of all the world, even the sins of the Jewish nation. So Jesus arose from the dead and returned to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit of God to empower his people to bear witness to the whole world. But then the Bible tells us that this same nation that allowed John the Baptist to be slain and Jesus Christ to be crucified upon the cross and for the church to be persecuted and Stephen to be stoned to death, this is the group of people, or the nation of people, that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. And what he tells us in verse 26 is simply this, that Titus and the Roman legions will come in and they will destroy Jerusalem. They will destroy the temple. And it simply reminds us of the fact that the timing of this judgment coming upon the nation of Israel helps us to understand the birth, or the time of the birth, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the same minds that designed the universe planned the details of his coming. Notice the guarantee of the plan. It is one thing for us to make a plan, but it's another thing for us to be able to guarantee that that plan be fulfilled. You see, the creation of the world was an introductory measure making subsequent events possible. Bethlehem would need a solid foundation in order to be placed on, so God created this world. And then Bethlehem would need a name, and so God placed it in the minds of individuals, and some unknown official came up with the name of Bethlehem. And then it would also have to be a place where a king was born, or a city of kings. And so God arranged for David, the great king, to be born there. So he was born in the city of David. At first, there appeared to be no likelihood that Jesus Christ could be born there in this historic place. Joseph resided in Nazareth, and so it was not likely that he was going to go there. But the Bible said that there was a king in Rome that determined he wanted a census. And so all had to go back to the home of their birth. And so he had to go back to Bethlehem with Mary, his espoused wife, and she gave birth to Christ at that particular time. All the jigsaw puzzle. It appears sometimes that things just happen. No, they don't. God is in control. He is in charge. He wanted this place, Bethlehem, to be the place of the birth of his son. How exciting his promise. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What God has done, he must reveal. And he picks the most unlikely of individuals to go and proclaim the birth of the Christ child, and that is the shepherds. We see them going out and sharing the good news of the birth of Christ. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Aren't you glad this morning that these tidings are for all of us, not just a select few? You see, we all are members of the body, the family of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're Methodist or Baptist. If we're newborn creatures in Christ Jesus, we're part of the family of Almighty God. And then the shepherds, as they go and they return back to their home and their place of work, they were glorifying and praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Oh, we rejoice this morning in the fact that 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, in a stable, a manger, if you will, that God, the great God of heaven, sent his son robed in human flesh to come and to live among us. Jesus Christ came in order that he might redeem us and pull us all up out of sin and wash us white as snow. Now, not everybody's going to become a Christian. But you see, God in his grace and mercy made it possible that everybody could become a Christian. And we need to spread the good news. Tell folks that Jesus Christ paid the price that you could live, not just for time, but for eternity. Aren't you glad for Christmas? Let's bow for prayer.